Jesus, we just come and exalt your name tonight. We just come and lift up your name as the name that is above all names. Jesus, you are supreme above all. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are before the beginning and you will be after the end. There is no one like you. You are perfect. And Jesus, we just say tonight, it's not about us. It's about you. It's all about you. We just lift up your name. And I just sense tonight the Lord saying that there's a couple of us here, maybe one or two, that it's almost like the music has died in your heart. Just sense when you're worshiping that like the music has almost gone quiet in your heart. There's something that's died. And I really feel God saying that he wants to come and write a new song, his love song on your heart tonight. And he's just inviting you just to open up your hearts and just to surrender to him. To come and just bring that life back into your heart again, bring that music back again. And I actually just want to pray for that. If that's you, you can just open up your heart, just in surrender. Say, God, I give you my heart. Come and do your will in my life tonight. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your perfect love that comes in to heal us, that comes in to restore us, that comes in just to show us just your goodness. And I just bring those hearts before you, Lord God, and thank you that you are the giver of life. And I pray, Lord God, just where stuff has died, that, you know, that, Father, you come with your perfect love just to bring life again. Thank you, Father. I ask that you come and write songs on hearts. Where the music's gone quiet, that you come and write your love song on hearts tonight. Thank you that you come and make dreams alive again. Thank you that you come and restore hope in hearts tonight. Thank you that you come and restore joy in hearts tonight. Thank you that you come and bring beautiful ashes in hearts tonight. Thank you, Father, that you come and affirm every person tonight in just how much you love them and how well pleased they are. Thank you for every person tonight that they will know that they are your son, that they are your daughter, and that you are well pleased with them, that you love them, and that they have a hope and they have a future. And we just speak your resurrection life here tonight. Amen. Yeah, and we just come and we surrender. I just come and surrender myself to you, Holy Spirit. I pray that you would just come and release the word of the Father. May every word that I speak fall to the ground, and may the words of the Father remain and take root and bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, for those that are visiting us for the first time, my name is Kathleen. And I just want to, before I start, just thank Pastor Reno and Liana just for the opportunity to share with you tonight and just honor them as leaders. They really are incredible leaders. We are so blessed to have them and to be in this church under them. And it really is a privilege. Okay. So my talk or sermon or tonight that I'm being sharing about is I am not possible. All right. Now, this is not exactly a sermon title that's going to get a lot of YouTube hits. Okay. Motivational sermon of the year, I am not possible, all right? But I want to actually show you something which does get a lot of YouTube hits. In fact, this video has got just under 10 million hits. I think I have a feeling that since when I watched it last week and now it's probably surpassed the 10 million views. Very popular, and our music man will play it for you. Okay, I will what I want. We love this, okay? The story of the underdog, the misfit, the one who was not chosen, who fights, rises above the odds, and actually manages to reach the top. Okay, we hear it all the time. Those are the movies we enjoy the most, okay? And that's what's actually preached to us by our teachers, by our coaches, by our mentors, by Facebook, by YouTube, okay? That you can be great. All you got to do, okay, is just believe in yourself, all right? All you got to do is just use the power that's within you. And if you really want it, I can be it, okay? I can will what I want. Nike, just do it. Okay, Adidas, my favorite brand. Impossible is nothing, okay? Dream it, believe it, achieve it. How many times have we heard that? All right, it's not how good you are, it's how good you want to be, okay? Just believe in yourself. You are the creator of your own destiny. Motivating stuff, okay? I just need more self-belief, okay? More self-confidence. How many times have your teachers told you that, or your lecturers, or your parents? You just need more self-confidence, all right? And there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with dreaming big. There's nothing wrong with going for greatness. All right, I believe the Lord created us like that. He created us with an incredible strength as humans, an incredible mind as humans. But what I think is that we are often chasing the wrong victory. Okay. All right. I am in the circles that I move in the type of work I do. I get to work with a lot of very, very famous people, well-known internationally. I get to meet a lot of celebrities. I also get to be invited to a lot of inspirational, motivational talks by people who have done insane things. I mean, things you cannot even begin to imagine, all right, that they've managed to push themselves through and things they've managed to achieve. And, they always promote and advertise these talks as, you must come listen, it will change your life. You need to meet this person, he will change your life. And I can tell you, I've been to a lot of those talks, and I've met a lot of those people, and they're amazing. I've got a lot of respect for what they've achieved, okay? Really, really great people, and they're using what they've achieved, a lot of them to raise funds, even for charity, but none of them have changed my life. They've given me a warm fuzzy, okay? But only Jesus has permanently ever changed my life, okay? You know what happens? We're desperate. We're looking for something to grab onto, okay? Some help. Maybe if this guy, you know, from his talk, I'll get some tips on how can I can achieve that greatness. And we go and we listen to them. And you know what happens at the end of that talk? The speaker gets on a plane, goes home, all right? And you go home to your home with your warm fuzzy. And those demons that are bugging you, they're still there. That pain in your heart is still there. That loneliness is still there, okay? That depression, it's still there. It's still weighing you down. Those worries, those things that are keeping you anxious and awake at night, it's still there. That voice of that teacher or that father who said, you're useless, you're no good, you'll never be anything, you're a loser, that voice is still screaming in your head, all right? Nothing has changed, okay, but you got a warm fuzzy, all right? But I want to say, and no disrespect, they're amazing people, these speakers, but they cannot do what Jesus can do. I said, Jesus is the only motivational speaker who will offer an invitation to come home with you. And if you accept, he will come and not only come home with you, he'll come and make his home in you. And he's the one that will set you free from those things that are keeping you in bondage. Jesus is the one who will heal that pain, okay? Jesus is the one who will lift that depression. Jesus is the one who will tell you, hey, you're my son, you're my daughter. This is who the Father says you are. You are amazing. I created you with purpose. All right? And he won't leave and say, send me an email in 2 weeks if you're having trouble. All right? Jesus will stay. His love is everlasting. Okay? And he's with us in the downs, in the highs. Okay? In the valleys, in the high points of our lives. Jesus never leaves us. Jesus never forsakes us. And he changes us. Okay? So what are we to make of greatness then? What is it? All right. I love the preacher in Ecclesiastes. He went and he went on a mission to see what is this greatness thing, and he achieved greatness, he achieved great accomplishments, great titles, a lot of wealth, all right? And then he came to a conclusion, and he said, so I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in my toil. And this was my reward for all my toil. Okay, it was good. He had good fun. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. I actually want to read, I read this weekend in a book I'm reading, so I started, I saw my edit in. I've got this amazing book. It's about how the great champion sportsmen and women of South Africa were made. And there's a local boy, he's a world champion surf skier, okay? He's from Fishhook, And he writes this quote about a turning point in his life where he discovered something. And he's very competitive. He's an incredible athlete. And he says, "I felt like I had to win to feel all right about myself. If I didn't win, my whole identity was in crisis. And then when I did win, the burst of satisfaction seemed to stay with me for shorter and shorter time until I was just never happy. I knew something had to change, and it was something inside me." Okay. Greatness is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with it, but greatness is just greatness. But there's one who is great above all, and that is Jesus Christ. All right. He's the only one who is above greatness. There's no one who can attain to the level of greatness of Jesus Christ. And I want to read. This is so beautiful. I'm so excited because this is the scripture we prayed in intercession before the time. Thanks, Lindiwe. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 20. "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation." Okay? "For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him." Okay? That includes us. Created through him and for him. This is what it's all about. Okay, we were created for Christ. Okay, we were created to have relationship with our Creator. All right, he existed before anything else and holds all creation together. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. He's the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. Christ is great above all greatness. All right. "For in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth," okay, "by means of Christ's blood on the cross." This is what it's all about. Okay, it's not about us, but it kind of is about us. Because it's about Christ, who is above all. It's about God, who created man, who wants to reconcile man unto himself. He created us through Christ, for him, okay? And even though he is the greatest of all, he is above all, he gave his own life, shed his own blood, so that we can be reconciled to him. And that's what it's all about, okay? That is the highest thing you can attain to, is to be reconciled unto your Creator. All right, that is why we see people like Paul, okay, saying in the Word, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Okay? Christ says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," because he knows that's the place, okay, where I'm dependent, where I know him, where I have to need to draw near him. All right? It says that God used the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. All right? And what is weak to shame the strong. It totally flies in the face of every motivational quote that you might have at the bottom of your diary or read on Facebook. All right? It's not about us. It's about who is our Creator. Okay, and who do we have a relationship with? All right? I love it. I work with high-performance athletes. Okay? My job is to make them faster, to make them achieve higher. Okay? And yes, I want them to do that. Okay? But you know what I pray for them every week? Not that they'll be faster, all right? They just need to train harder to do that. They need to kick up the butt, all right? That's all. I don't need prayer for that, all right? What I pray for them every week is that they will know Jesus, okay? Because I've been there, okay? Had the trick distinctions, the cum the subjects in university, had the salary, all right? All of that. But the highest thing, the greatest thing, is that moment where you come to know Jesus Christ. There is nothing greater than that. Okay? All right, I want to quickly share with you this awesome quote from John Piper. Can we get that quote up there? Yes. "You get one pass at life, that's all. Only one. And the lasting measure of that life is Jesus Christ." Now that's a motivational quote that I want to live by. All right. Because that is the highest. I just want to quickly chat to you about one of my favorite people in the Bible, Moses, and actually compare him to someone else who's really well known in the Bible, one of the great men, David. Now Moses was born to a nation of slaves, okay? The Israelites, at a time when they were greatly being oppressed by the Egyptians, okay? And actually at that time, Pharaoh had given an instruction that all the baby boys, all the baby Hebrew boys, need to be killed and exposed of. All right, so not a good start, okay, to life. But what's incredible is God had chosen Moses to deliver the Israelites out of slavery. And so he ordained, created a plan so that Moses would not be killed and he would actually be rescued. Moses gets rescued by Pharaoh's daughter and ends up being taken into the palace as her own son and is raised as one of Pharaoh's children, as one of Pharaoh's sons in the palace. Okay, so the story's looking a little bit better. Okay, now how we would expect that story to end, all right, is that awesome, great position. Moses is perfectly positioned, all right, to grow up, take over Pharaoh's position as Pharaoh because he's a son now in the palace, and then he can change the rules of how Egypt runs and he can abolish slavery and the Israelites can be set free. That sounds like a good plan. Yeah? I think it's a good plan. All right, it sounds. That's how I would think. I think, wow, I'm well positioned to now actually make this change. And we see Moses actually realizing that, you know, this is calling on his life. And but what we see him doing is actually relying on his own strength and his own position from the palace to now go and try and do a deliverance on Israel. And Moses goes out and he sees an Israelite slave handler person, Egyptian slave handler person, beating up another Israelite. And he goes and he kills this Egyptian because he's now going to save the Israelites, okay? But it goes a little bit pear-shaped from there, all right? Actually, the Hebrews turn to Moses and like, who do you think you are? You're coming from the palace trying to come and rescue us, okay? And Moses actually ends up having to flee for his life to another country, Midian, all right? Where he marries and spends his days taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. Now, I want to see, this is beautiful, all right? This is beautiful. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. You can go to the next scripture. Oh, all right, next one. All right, now Moses, it says here, now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, okay? And then if you read on, we see how the Lord appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and called Moses to deliver the Israelites. Now, what I want you to note is that Moses was not called while he was in the palace. Moses was called while he was tending sheep. I actually think God needed to get the palace out of Moses. Okay, because it's at this point when Moses actually turns to God and says to him, if I go, who do I say sent me? And he says, I am. That is, God is I am. Moses is just little Moses, but God is I am, okay? And I love the way also if we look at verse 8 and verse 10, Moses gives him the instruction. He says, I've seen the affliction of my people, and he says, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, all right? Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Okay, it was not about Moses. Okay, it was about God who wanted to do a deliverance on his people, all right? Moses was just the chosen one who God was going to work through and use as his vessel, all right? And Moses, in fact, Moses wasn't even the most accomplished person, okay? Moses had a bit of a speech impediment, okay? He was quite fearful of man and fearful of going to speak to Pharaoh. In fact, Moses makes quite a lot of excuses, okay, about why he can't go, okay? But that's fine. God still uses him, okay? God says, it's fine. I'll make a plan. I want to use you, okay? Because it was not about Moses. It was about God's power working through Moses, okay? It wasn't about Moses had to know, Moses, I am not possible, but the great I am, God is possible. And God comes and does a great deliverance on the people of Israel through Moses. All right? And it's beautiful. You know, Moses, he wasn't very popular. The Israelites moaned and groaned at Moses day in and day out. Okay? Moses had a little bit of a short fuse, which got him into trouble a few times. All right? Moses actually didn't even get to see the promised land that he was leading the Israelites to. Moses gets a little bit angry with the rock one day, and the Lord says, you will not go into the promised land. Joshua will lead the people into the promised land. You will die in the desert. Okay, so Moses, people moan at him. He dies in the desert. Okay, he was in the palace. Now he's with moaning people in the desert. He's not even going to see the promised land. All right, but throughout the story, we see a beautiful development of Moses' relationship with the Lord throughout all of this. And that is why we read about Moses, as Moses was a man who the Lord spoke to him face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. We can go just back to that. What was that previous slide? Okay? The Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. I can't think of anything greater than that. There is no Olympic gold medal that can top that. All right? There's no business enterprise that can top that. And God loved Moses. They were so close. All right? Okay? That God himself buried Moses. To this day, no one knows where Moses is buried. God himself buried Moses. All right? And that's why I love the scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 26. Where it says, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have enjoyed the pleasures of the palace, okay? Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. He knew it was not about my greatness, it was not about my palace, but it was about the great I am, and about knowing him. All right, and that's why Moses is one of the greatest men ever known. And I just want to contrast him with David. David, also one of the great men of the Bible, he started off tending sheep, okay? And he was the youngest, he was the last one chosen by his father to be anointed as king, even though God had chosen him. Okay, and he gets anointed king, and he ends up being a great king, and he ends up dying in the palace. Okay, he actually becomes king, all right? And it's said of him, he is known as a man after God's own heart. That's what we know David most for, not so much that he was king, but that he was a man after God's own heart. So what I want you to see is they both had different beginnings. One started in the palace, one started as a shepherd boy. One died in the palace, one died in the desert. But it's not about that. It's about David was a man after God's own heart. Moses spoke to God face to face as a friend. That's what it's all about. It's not where you begin or where you end in terms of the world's positions or titles. It's about, are you being obedient to what God has called you to do where you are? And do you know him? That's what it's about. Okay? I just want to share, but I've had this one of my greatest moments of my life. It's a bit of a Moses moment, and it's really one of my highlights. Was a time when I was at my lowest of low, but my highest of high. Okay? I was working for a company in Stellenbosch, according to myself, I was a little bit arrogant then. I was doing amazing work, okay? Really, I thought I was just great. I'm on my way to greatness. I'm going to change the world, all right, with the work that I'm doing and the projects that I'm initiating. But there was a lot coming against me at that place where I was working. And I was just being pushed down and broken down day after day after day after day after day. And I'm quite a tough cookie. So you can imagine there was a lot coming against me that I would literally spend my nights weeping because I couldn't take it anymore. I was just being broken to push down to a pulp, all right, till I was nothing. Every bit of me, every bit of palace inside of me was just being squished out of me, all right. where I was being made nothing. I'm like, I'm doing this amazing work, but yet I was being made nothing. And I'm so glad that happened to me, okay? It was a very painful, very tough time. But there was this one night where I was broken, I was down, I was lying on my kitchen floor, fetus position, crying. I'm like, God, I don't know what to do anymore, but I won't leave until you tell me to leave. Okay, I'm staying. I'm going to stick it out, but I don't know what to do. And he spoke to me. It was beautiful. And he said to me, Kathleen, do you believe I'm good? And I said, of course. Hello. That's a good Christian answer. Okay. I've read about you that you're good. They talk about you in church that you're good. Of course I believe you're good. He said, no, you don't. He said, I said, I do. He said, no, you don't. Not as persistent. He says, I do. I'm like, okay, since God, I suppose he knows more than I do. Maybe I don't. Okay. He said, you don't. He said, you believe it, yeah. All right. You don't believe it, yeah. I want to show you that I'm good. Okay. Do you choose, and it was like Moses in the burning bush. Do I turn aside to the burning bush or do I just ignore it? He says, you've got to make a choice tonight. Are you going to choose to believe, really believe, that I am good? And I was like, yes, Lord. Tonight I'm choosing to believe that I am good. I'm letting go everything of me and I'm putting my full trust in you, believing that you're good. Whoa, that next morning I rose up and there was fire in my belly. Okay, I rose up with a confidence which I've never experienced in my life. It was not a self-confidence, it was a God confidence. That day, the I am went from capital letters to small letters. Okay, and my self-confidence changed to God confidence. My confidence was in I am. Okay, where I had to let go of who I am and believe in God who's good. And I drove off. We started a new holiday project out in French Hook that morning. And I drove off and I was just worshiping the Lord and committing it to him on the way there. And it was the most amazing couple of days. Where it's probably, I must say, I'm gonna be non-falsely humble. And say it was whatever, I don't even know if that's biblical. But but so it was probably the most incredible holiday program I've probably ever presented. But it was not me. I was relying on God. And it was such an adventure. Why? Because every morning I drive through to French Hook and the Lord is speaking to me. And he's there with me in my car. And I'm worshiping him. And I was growing closer to him. Okay? Yet I was still achieving greatness. Okay? But it wasn't about me. The most exciting part was the adventure of doing it with the Lord. And you would think, how's the story end? Awesome. Kathleen got back to work and got an award. All right, sports coach of the year. No. I got back to work and I got a retrenchment letter. It's a true story. True story. Okay, I'm not making this up. We're not allowed to lie from the pulpit. And and I was pretty devastated. So start of December holidays, no money, no job, what now? All right, but I knew God is good. I knew God is good, and that's what I held on to. Within 2 days, I'd been offered another job. And actually, it was a job I'd been offered 6 months prior, but I wasn't free, I was employed, okay? And the Lord had actually already prepared it for me, all right? And it was still a faith journey of 2 months of really trusting in God's goodness that for it to actually finalize and come through. But in the midst of that time, this is where it all happened. It's December holidays. My food for the week was a loaf of bread and a small tin of apricot jam. Okay? That was my food for the week. All right? And I was there alone and I was sort of going through the holidays and I was just trusting God is good. God is good. This is going to come through. He said it will come through. It's going to come through. And I remember Christmas morning, I was like, I don't really feel like being with people. And I'm just going to go do something challenging, go run up Table Mountain. Thought there would be something fun to do. So I challenged myself to run up this one route I'd never made without walking before, and I made it. It was epic. All right. But the most epic part was still to come. As I got to that top of that mountain, okay, oh, my hat. That's something I say a lot. The presence of the Lord came over that mountain like a cloud. It was like Moses vibes, okay? I No, really. The presence of the Lord, I was on my ace, okay, Stoksilalien, on top of that mountain, but it was like the presence of the Lord was all around me. I didn't know what to do with myself. I actually ran a few extra loops around the dams and stuff because, like, I can't leave this place, all right? Let's go see if there's more of the Lord here or more of the Lord there. And I was just running from one side of the top of that mountain to the other, and it was just like the Lord's presence was just everywhere, and he came and he filled me with his love, like, I've never experienced before in my life. It was phenomenal. I didn't feel alone, not for one moment. I was in the presence of the Lord. I was like, no Christmas dinner beats this. I mean, this is incredible. I felt like Moses. Moses was more awesome. Okay, but I was like, this is probably the closest I've ever got to feeling like Moses. In my lowest of lows, my degree there meant nothing. My cum laudes and my matric distinctions meant nothing. Okay, I've stood on podiums, okay, at the top step, but none of those were higher than this mountaintop that I was standing on with the Lord. That is greatness, guys. That is what it's all about. Okay? I will what I want. If I really put my mind to it, I can achieve great things. Like our ballerina. But there's three things, and I'm going to conclude with these three things, okay, that you cannot do, no matter how much you suck yourself up, no matter how strong your mind is, no matter how much you dream, visualize, believe, okay, work, study, train. You cannot do these three things. They are impossible for man, but they are possible for I am. The great I am, okay, Lord God Almighty. The one is, only God can love perfectly. We can love, but only God can love perfectly. God is love. Okay, everywhere we read in the Word, His love is steadfast. Okay, His love is unconditional. His love is perfect. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 11. For while we were still weak, okay, at the right time, Christ came to die for the ungodly, not the good people. I'm so glad about that. I was not a good person. Okay? For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Guys, who does this? No one does this. Okay? No one does this. A mother might, or a parent, a father might throw themselves in front of their child if their child's in danger. Okay, but they wouldn't just do it for anyone. They wouldn't do it for the sinner down the road. They wouldn't do it for you and for you. Okay? There's no one that loves can love like it. I'm sorry. All right, I'm gonna make a statement of truth. All right. Nothing can separate us from this love. Okay, we receive it. It's there. It's forever. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, living on bread and apricot jam. Okay? In all these things, you're more than conquerors. It doesn't matter that it's just bread and apricot jam, because God loves us. Okay? That's how we overcome, not by the power of our minds. Overcome by the love of God, which drives out fear. Okay? For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, rulers, anything, okay, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in creation will separate us from the love of God in the one who is supreme, Christ Jesus our Lord. All right? We've got Encounter series coming up, the number 3 and 4. Okay? You saw the dates, April and May. If you're still struggling in areas where you just are stuck in bondage, okay, where you're needing healing, I want you to come, because that is a place where they facilitate the love of God to come in. And I've experienced in my own life where that love comes in and it heals that deep brokenness that you don't even know is there, all right? And it breaks those chains, brings that freedom, all right? So really, I really want to encourage you to come to our Encounter 3 and 4 that's coming up, okay? Only God, I am, is possible to forgive sins. We can forgive each other. Sorry, I did that. Okay, it's fine, I forgive you. Sort of. All right. But only God is possible to forgive sins. There's a scripture in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2 to 6, where they bring a paralytic to Jesus, and they ask him to heal him. And watch this. The first thing Jesus does is not heal the paralytic. He says, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. Because what paralyzes us most is that guilt. It's a place of, I'm trying to do better. I'm trying, but I've got this, I can't. I've got this guilt that's just weighing me down, okay? And watch what the Pharisees say. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. Why did they say that? What is blaspheming? He's saying, I'm God, because only God can forgive sins. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic, rise up, pick up your bed, and go home. Note that they didn't have an issue with him healing the paralytic. They had an issue with him forgiving sins, because then he was claiming to be God, because only God can truly set you free from your sins. And that's why his son Jesus came, the perfect lamb, to die in our place, to pay the debt, the price for you, so that you don't have to die, so that you can be forgiven and receive eternal life. And you cannot do that for yourself, and no one else can do it for you. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's his blood that sets us free. I'm coming to that towards the end now. Only God, I am, is possible to bring to life what is dead. And you who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, and having forgiven us all our trespasses, by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. It is finished. Okay? So that we can have life. I love Romans 5, verse 12 to 21. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because they sinned. Okay, Christ came to bring life. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. He has the victory. The victory, remember I mentioned that victory that we're chasing? It's life, eternal life in Jesus Christ. That is the victory. And the victory is not a victory that we can attain. Okay? It's only a victory that Christ can attain, and he has already attained it. We just need to say, yes, Jesus, yes. Matthew sang it, yes. Are you willing to say, yes, yes, Jesus? I accept the invitation that you're offering me for eternal life. I'm accepting the invitation that you're offering to know you. I'm accepting the invitation for you to come and make your home in me. I'm accepting it so that I can receive life and life in abundance. And I can receive spiritual life, okay? Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation from all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. All right? So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The band can come up. Guys, this is what it's all about. All right? Jesus speaking to Martha says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I want you to stand with me tonight. Jesus is offering an invitation tonight. He's here, and he's saying, I'm inviting you to come and receive my perfect love. I'm inviting you to come and receive complete forgiveness for your sins, past, present, future. Okay? I'm inviting you to come and receive eternal life. Everything in you that's dead, I want to come and make alive. I want to come and put my life inside of you. I died so that you can have life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come so that you can have life and have it in abundance. He's inviting you. He's saying, come, I want to make my home in you. I want to know you, okay? I want to know you. He's inviting you tonight. And if you have not experienced that perfect love of Christ, if you have not surrendered your heart to Jesus and say, I'm letting go of I am, okay? And I'm surrendering to you. All right? If Jesus has not come to make his home in you, if you do not know that love of Christ, if you do not know Jesus, if he's not Lord of your life, okay, then tonight I'm offering an invitation for you. Okay? He's extending an invitation. And tonight's an opportunity for you to accept that invitation. So if there's anyone like that tonight, Jesus is inviting you. He's saying, I want to come home with you. I want to know you. I want you to know me. So is anyone tonight, you're far away from the God, you can't stand, and you say, I know Jesus. I speak to him every day. I hear his voice. All right? He's inviting you. If that's you tonight, I want you to just indicate where you are. While every eye is closed, I want us all just to focus on the cross and just to focus on Jesus. While every eye is closed, if that's you, if you do not know Jesus, do you want to accept that invitation? Then I just want you to indicate by just raising your hand. Okay, some of you, thank you, I see that hand. All right, some of you, you might have been coming to church for a long time. Thank you, I see that hand. Okay. But you replaced the I am with your own I am. You've taken over. You've started taking charge of your own life. And you've kind of put Jesus to the side. You've put him to Sundays and church time or small group time, but he's not truly Lord of your life. He's not supreme. Okay, then I want to offer you the invitation is there for you tonight to come and restore that relationship, to make him supreme in your life again, to make him the greatest of greatest, to make him your greatest victory in life. So if that's you, Jesus is not your greatest victory, then I want to pray with you tonight. You can just raise your hand. Just surrender. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand again. That hand. Those hands. Hands going up. I see that hand over there. Hands going up all over. All right. Jesus is not your victory. Tonight's your night. Okay. Those people that raised your hand, I want to ask you to be very bold and to take a step forward as the point of saying, I'm accepting that invitation. I want you to just come through. And there's some hands on the left of me and to the right. I just want you to come forward and come stand on the right of me. Be very bold. Even if you didn't raise your hand, okay, but you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, okay, there's some hands, so as well, be very bold. This is not about us. This is about you and Jesus. He's inviting you to his table, okay? If there's anyone else, even if you didn't put up your hand, but Jesus is not your number one victory. And I want you to, you want to take that step of saying, Jesus, no more me, but you. I want you to come forward. We're going to pray with these people in a moment. But also want to offer an invitation. You can come to my left for prayer. If your identity is in your greatness, your identity is in your studies, your identity is in your career, your identity is stuck in your sport, okay? And you're stuck in this place where if you're not achieving, you're stuck. You feel like you're nothing, okay? And you've got this drivenness. And I feel God really wants to come and restore your identity in him tonight. Okay, then I want to invite you. You can come forward and you can come stand on your left while the band worships. While we pray for these people as well. And the facilitators will come and pray with you. And the last call is, if you've really been finding that you've been chasing after your own greatness, okay, and the kingdom is not number one in your life, not seeking first God's kingdom, but you're chasing after your own greatness, and you really want to just come and just recommit what you're doing, your calling, your work, your studies to the Lord, then you want someone to pray with you, then I want you to come forward here to my left and someone will pray with you. Okay, so as the band worships, you can just come forward. facilitators will pray with you, but let's just pray with these people. Okay, everyone can just pray together, and some facilitators can come forward as well. Okay, guys, we're just going to pray, and if you guys can just pray after me as we just declare Jesus our victory. All right, so we can just pray after me. Jesus, I acknowledge that you're supreme. Jesus, thank you for the victory of the cross. Thank you that my sins are forgiven because of the cross. Thank you that I can be reconciled to the Father because of the cross. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Jesus, I ask that you'd come and forgive my sins, past, present, and future. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that I'm washed clean by your blood. Thank you that I can now walk in your victory. Thank you that I can now know you. Jesus, I surrender my all. I give you my I am, because I want to know I am. Jesus, come and take all of me. Take control of my life. From this point forward, I live for your greatness. It's not about me. It's about you. And I long to know you more and more every day. Jesus, you're incredible. Thank you. Amen. All right, there's some people that are going to pray with you. They're going to sort of walk with you somewhere and pray with you, guys. This is Jesus is our victory. And if there's anyone that wants to respond to any of the other altar calls, or if there's anything else that you need prayer for, any other area, or anything that God spoke to you in the last, however long I was speaking, and something that the Holy Spirit dropped and you feel you really would like to pray with someone, then while the band is worshiping, I just want to invite you to come forward and some facilitators will pray for you. But don't, if there's something that's tugging on your heart, don't leave this place. Jesus is here, okay? He wants to come and work in that place in your life, okay? He wants to come and be victory over that circumstance, all right? Okay, so don't leave this place until someone has prayed with you, all right? Because Jesus, he wants to meet with you, okay? This is what it's all about. It's not about a church service. It's about Jesus meeting with you, all right? So really, if you need prayer, there's something tugging, come forward, all right, that someone can pray with you before you leave. All right. Bend over to you.